Welcome to Spiraling, the iced tea podcast after show where we spill the tea about things that may or may not be figure skating. My name is Netta.
My name is Megan, and we are also joined in the physical studio today by our friend Jamie, who's just hanging out.
Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Oh my god, it's true. It's true.
Live from a hotel room in Germany. It is Friday night.
There you go. So today we wanted to do a brief episode on our favorite protagonist of the of the Winter Olympics 2022 Beijing. The one and only Bing Duanduan, the panda in a space suit of some kind.
The actual main character of this event, who people have mixed feelings about. And by people, I mean people in our lives, because he's adorable. But also, we've heard that people think he has menacing vibes. His eyes are deeply empty, and I want to know what that is about.
So, okay, I want to just do a brief history of Olympic mascots.
Please do.
And Paralympic mascots. So, the Olympic mascots are fictional characters. Usually an animal.
They are?
I know. I need you to keep it together, because it's going to be a wild ride. They're fictional characters, usually an animal native to the area, or human figures who represent the cultural heritage of the place where the Olympic and Paralympic Games are taking place. They help market the Olympic Games to a younger audience, in particular toddlers and children. What the fuck, toddlers are watching the Olympics by themselves?
I mean, the toddlers who watch the Olympics end up being Nathan Chen, so those toddlers.
That's true. Also, they end up being on commercials of like, oh, look. Hey! Sorry, we have BBC on, and I just got distracted because I've seen that lady before. much like every actor on BBC, I've seen them before in something. Do you want to guess what year the first Olympic mascot debuted in?
1934.
Oh my god, you were fucking close as shit. It was 1932 Summer Olympics.
Oh my god, I'm so good at this.
You're literally so good at this.
You know why? I was trying to imagine like mascots and like costumes and stuff, and I'm obsessed with like turn of the century Halloween costumes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they look fucking insane and so creepy. So I was like, I wish that was a thing.
Yeah, those are really rough because you see a picture and it's like
black and white and faded and terrible, and it's just like, so
yeah, and it's like you're so preoccupied by the like plague doctor ghost shit, and then you're like, oh, at least one of these children is in blackface. It's always a nightmare.
You're right, though. We did, my drag collective and I did like a circus themed show recently, and I was just doing a fun thing where I was just posting old pictures of like spooky costumes and tagging the members of my collective as them, and I did one of them, and it was just like a bunch of clowns and stuff, and I just tagged them, and one of my friends like replied to my story and was like, I'm not sure, this might be blackface. And I was like, oh shit. And I had to take down my story and stuff. We're still not sure if it was, because it was just like a bad, very old picture.
Yeah, but better safe than sorry.
Yeah, the rest of them were just like in full like traditional clown makeup of various kinds, so it could have just been clown, but we didn't know.
We don't know. There's a really fine line between blackface and clown.
Yeah.
Anyway, on a lighter note, the first major mascot, which I'm very curious to figure out what that means. Okay. First of all.
Yes.
Okay, I'm two paragraphs into the Olympic mascots wiki page, and I've already gotten so much conflicting information. What's the truth? What is the truth?
Welcome to... This is now, like, an investigative reality show.
Literally, like, we're gonna fucking get hired by NPR right tomorrow. Right tomorrow? Right tomorrow.
We're very good at talking on a microphone.
Yeah, for sure. That's our job. So it says, ever since the 1932 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles, the Olympic Games have always had a mascot. Then the next sentence is, the first major mascot in the Summer Olympic Games was Misha in the 1980 Summer Olympics in Moscow. And we're just supposed to know who Misha is.
I wonder if it's the case of, like, there's always been, like, a thing since the 30s.
But everyone hated them until Misha.
Misha
was the first one anyone liked.
No, I was going to say, I wonder if it's kind of like the thing of, like, you noted... Like, you know that this place has a crest or whatever, but it's not important. And then Misha was the first one where they were like, we can sell plushies of this.
So, okay, I've clicked. Misha has his own wiki page. He's also known as Mishka, which, duh. Or the Olympic Mishka, which sadly we didn't get this year. Womp womp. We could have had an Olympic Mishka. But he's a cute teddy bear who is nude aside from a Olympic rings belt, which is kind of kinky.
That's
of him.
That's sexy. Can I see?
Yeah. Here's him on a stamp.
Oh my god, I love him.
Yeah, he's real cute.
He looks so much like Chiburashka. Do you know who Chiburashka is?
No.
Oh my god. Type in on Wikipedia, just type in Crocodile Gena. G-E-N-A. It's a Russian cartoon from, like, it's a Soviet cartoon, and it's the crocodile Gena and his friend Chiburashka. And Chiburashka is not,
Oh, he's like a little manchichi.
He's not, like, a real animal of any sort. He's just, like, this big, like, big-eared person.
He's a manchichi with, like, junior mints for ears.
Yeah, I think he's a he, him. I think most people assume he's a girl because Chiburashka sounds like a girl name because it ends on an A.
Wow. So, like, the original gender pioneer was this little monkey with weird ears.
Yes. I have a plushie that's them. It used to be my dad's in, like, the 70s, and I really enjoy Chiburashka. I think
is Chiburashka the he-they of the day?
Yes!
Okay, so
that goes in the show notes.
Yeah, so back to Misha. Apparently he was the first mascot of a sporting event to achieve large-scale commercial success in merchandise.
See, I told you he was the first one where they were like, we can sell a plushie of this.
Yeah, so he was the first, like, I mean, it was like Moscow in 1980, so I don't know if capitalism applies, but it was the first, like, sort of capitalistic.
Was that the beginning of the fall of the Soviet Union? Was there they were like, wait a minute, we can sell this.
Wait, did the Olympic Mishka
Caused the fall of
the Soviet Union. Much to think about.
I told you this is an investigative show now.
Yeah, seriously, like, we're going to win every award there is. So listen.
This is serial.
I accidentally closed my tab, so I have to reopen the Olympic.
You're on my computer, and I'm terrified you're about to pull up something terrible.
Okay, I don't know what your secrets are that I don't know at this point, but...
I think you know everything is a thing.
Yeah, so starting in 2010 in Vancouver, the Olympic and Paralympic mascots have been presented together. Okay, so we have all this information, right? And then we go into the history portion.
Yes.
And it says, the first Olympic mascot was born at the Grenoble Olympic Games in 1968. So a couple questions there.
They get born?
Yeah, like they get...
They get birthed?
So So its mother gave birth to it at the Grenoble Olympics, and then it was like... What, like 20 years later? It was like... Okay, no. It was... I think it was... Its name was Schuss.
Schuss?
Yep. And it was a little man... verbatim, a little man on skis.
Wait, so if you're born at the Olympics...
You're born with just congenital skis if you were born at the Winter Olympics.
Can we pour one out for the person who had to birth a little man with skis?
Oh, God. Holy shit. Okay, but he was designed in an abstract form, so maybe that.
What?
Okay, but then...
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, but then, and now, I'm getting another conflicting message, because, so we've now had the first one, so we've had the first one was in 1932, the first major one was in 1980.
Was Mishka?
The first one was born in 1968, and then the first official Olympic mascot was in the 1972 Olympics in Munich, and its name was Valdi, a dachshund.
I'm very confused, but I appreciate it. All of them want to be the first. That feels very Olympic of them.
Right? It says it was selected because it was a popular breed in Bavaria at the time, and it represented the attributes required for athletes: resistance, tenacity, and agility, which is hilarious because earlier tonight, my little German niece told me that whenever she sees a dachshund, she worries about its back because they all have back issues, which a lot of Olympians also have.
Jesus, it's all coming together. There you go.
Certainly is.
Investigative.
So, okay, we have a table now.
Okay.
And
I love an Olympic table.
And now it's like, what's true? Because the first one listed is in 1932.
What is their name? Who were they?
It's a Scottish Terrier named Smokey, which for the LA Olympics was kind of apocryphal, huh?
Yeah, that's... I mean, I appreciate that one thing that the US is very good at is being like, here's a bunch of cute dogs.
Okay, again though, again... with the weird birthing language, because it under designer, there is no artist credited. It just says born in the Olympics before the Olympics.
Are we?
It's a real dog. Wait, this solves everything, because it's not a character. It's a real dog that they then decided was the Olympic mascot because it was born in the Olympic Village.
Oh, that's cute.
That is really cute. Okay,
that's
so...
That's like when in the credits of movies, they list, like, the film babies.
Yeah. Oh. So this was a Scottish Terrier. Okay, so I believe...
This yes. Scottish Terrier died, like, 100 years ago, and I'm sad about that.
Okay, and then the ski man, Shoes, and... this was back when they did summer and winter in the same year, which is like kind of almost what happened this year accidentally. Yeah. But Shoes and then the Mexican Jaguar from the summer version were both unofficial. And then starting in 1972, Odell Archer designed Valdi the Dachshund. Okay. So,
but here's my question. If the dog in LA was a real dog and that's why it was born, are we saying that someone gave birth to a little man in skis in Grenoble or like wherever?
Yeah, they were like, wow, this happened during the Olympics. Let's make him the mascot. He's a full grown man in little man in skis.
It's like a Benjamin Button on skis.
I hate it here. Oh, abort.
This
okay.
is, if someone who can draw is listening, please make fan art of the little man in skis.
He's a baby, but he's also a little man on skis.
Yes.
Yes, we exist.
Yes, he exists.
So, I'm just looking through this list for anything, like, remarkable here. It actually looks like for 1984 LA, the mascot was Sam Eagle, the Muppet. Which is, like, okay. He's, like, the bitchiest Muppet. Yeah, wait a minute. No, he's a different one. Okay, I lied. So, I guess it was designed by somebody who worked at Disney, but it's... a Sam and an Eagle, and he's not Sam Eagle the Muppet.
How did they get away with that?
I don't think Disney owned the Muppets at the time. Also, it was 19... Did they... Sam Eagle... When did the Muppets happen?
Does this predate? I don't think. I think the Muppets is older.
Yeah. Anyway, what else do we have here? We have...
Who was the mascot, like, 2014 and 2018?
Okay, yeah. So the ones, like, we remember... okay, so first of all, I remember the 2008 Summer Olympics in Beijing were fucking insane because they had like five different mascots.
Yeah.
Then like vaguely Vancouver remember that. Had three. I do remember that. Miga, Kwachi, and Muk Muk.
Yes.
And then in London, they just had the Wenlock, which is a drop of steel with a camera for an eye. What the fuck? That's...
Yo, London. We have a London native.
Yeah. Jamie, will you come and tell me what the fuck is going on with your city?
Please hold for Jamie. Jamie, hello.
Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller. can I see a picture of them? I remember.
Oh,
them.
I hate it. It's when like a bad minion. It's like a worse minion.
Yeah, and this was 2012, so was this pre-minion?
No, minions have been around forever. Yeah. There's no way.
They,
I feel like it's, like, at the same time as minions.
Yeah, that's true.
I do remember that one of my friends had, they still are identical twins.
Oh, God.
They were fully adults at this point.
So we don't, what Olympics were they born at then? Like, who gave birth to a drop of steel with a camera eye? That was a dark time.
Yeah, my two human friends who were adults during the Olympics had, one of them had a Wenlock, like, plushie, and one of them had a Mandeville plushie. So I know that we had plushies of them, but I didn't know they were supposed to be drops of steel with camera eyes.
Oh, but wait, there's deep lore. Let me read it to you. According to the associated, in parentheses, fictional storyline by Michael Morpurgo.
Beloved British author of War Horse.
Why?
It's appropriate. Warhorse Olympics, figure skating.
Yeah, but why?
Oh, but it was Summer Olympics, so.
But why?
Okay, they were formed from the last girder of the Olympic Stadium. Their skins are made of highly polished steel, allowing them to reflect the personalities and appearances of the people they meet. Girls same.
Aww.
Their one eye is a camera, and on their head are yellow lights symbolizing those of a London taxi. So they just really lean into, like, industrialism, which, like, I guess that kind of was the thing with the 2012 London
Olympics,
huh?
Yeah, it was very, like, the future is now.
They have friendship rings,
that's
apparently.
Cute.
That's gay.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't they, like, cousins?
twin brothers? Did I invent
besties?
That?
No, Jamie has friends who are twins in real life.
Yes, not anything to do with actually the Michael Morpurgo wrote a story concept, and there was like a children's book.
Well, the book is called Adventures on a Rainbow, so
that's pretty gay.
In this shirt, two drops of steel and love.
They received mixed reviews.
Oh, and then there was a controversy because they were making appearances at schools, but then apparently, like, only richy rich schools could afford to hire the
The fucking Olympic mascots? Yeah, I would imagine.
Sorry, I've just read this. A columnist said that the pair looked like the product of a drunken one night stand between a Teletubby and a Dalek.
Oh, no.
Fucking British roasts.
That exists on AO3, I bet.
Don't make me look it up, because I'm sure it does.
Okay, so...
God, do people write erotic fanfiction about the Daleks?
Is there erotic fanfiction about any of the Olympic mascots? I think the people need to know.
I think we actually looked this up the other day, and we couldn't find
any. No, we didn't. We were looking for Luge.
Oh, in all the wrong places.
We were trying to figure out if, like, the doubles luge has inspired erotic fanfiction because they're in, like, Speedos lying in front of on top of each other. Listener, the answer is no. There's only one luge fanfiction on AO3.
Is it titled We Found Luge in a Hopeless Place?
It is not, but Jamie, I will tell you two things. I'll tell you one thing. It's not about losers. It's a luge
AU. It's about winners.
I hate you, Megan. Cut me out of the podcast, I believe.
Stay, Jamie. There is only one fanfiction on Archive of Our Own about Luge. It's a Lujing AU. I'm giving you three tries to try to guess what, like, it is of. It's an alternate universe, but who are the actual people who are featured in it?
I mean, the, like, statistically likely answer would be two of the members of BTS.
Very good guess, but no, you have two more guesses while Megan is reading this deep lore.
Stucky.
No, but like you're...
Again, a very good guess.
Very, very solid guesses.
It's like the other one.
Is it Destiel?
Well, I'm gonna give it to you because it's Jared Padalecki and the other one.
Oh, Jensen Ackles.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, it's J2.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like, I'm gonna give you Destiel. I think you're like in the right camp there. Yeah, so we discovered that, dear listener. So anyway, back to mascots. I would be so fucking disappointed, though. You can tell me about this because you were child-ish in London in 2012.
I was 16.
Yeah, you were a child. A thing that I do on this podcast is I look at a 16-year-old and I say, they're a child.
Yeah.
So you were a child. Imagine if it's been historically, like, puppies and bears and, like, youth shit, and then it comes to your hometown and you're like, it's a drop of steel.
It was. I do remember being like, this is interesting. Like, what was the one before us? What was 2008? What did they
Beijing.
Have?
Yeah. Beijing had they had, like, five mascots that were all, like, different. The Fuwa, Bebe, Jing Jing, Huan Huan, Ying Ying, and Nini. They were a koi, a giant panda, an Olympic flame, a Tibetan antelope, and a swallow.
Aww.
But I guess, like, together, their names form the sentence, like, Beijing welcomes you, which is cute.
Oh, that's fucking cute. So anyway, drops of steel.
Yeah. I do remember the thing about them being the last drops of the girders that made up the Olympic stadium. That does, I think I remember that from, like, the opening ceremony, because there was a whole big thing about, like, we had stuff about the NHS in the opening ceremony.
Oh, and, I remember,
like,
that. And then there was, like,
industrial, like, steel production. And
there were children in pajamas. I remember that.
What?
Yeah.
I do not remember that.
And as listeners, you can't tell from my accent, but my family is Welsh. And as a person who grew up near some of the big, like, or who has family from some of the big, like, places where we have steel mills in South Wales, anytime there was anything to do with, like, mining and steel, I was like, yeah!
You feel represented.
Solidarity with these fucking people in costumes!
Yeah. With a bunch of union actors.
Yeah. So something that I want to talk about...
Not
wait, go ahead.
Just union actors, actually, they were mostly volunteers, because my mum applied to be a volunteer in the Olympic ceremony, and she, like, didn't make the cut.
Well, fuck you, 2012 Olympics.
Jesus, yeah, fuck you.
I think it was that she couldn't make all of the, like, rehearsals or something.
Yeah, so. That'll do it. Megan has not cast me in things because of scheduling conflicts.
Sorry about it.
That's fine. I forgive.
So listen, I want to talk briefly about the Paralympic mascots because there's a lot going on here and sometimes it's just another mascot. Sometimes it's Dan D. Lion, a lion who wore running shoes and a jogging outfit. And sometimes it's Nagi and Joggy, a pair of squirrels. And then sometimes it's Petra, a stylized armless girl. Or Sandre, troll, comma, with an amputation. So I'm curious, I don't think it's wrong to try and incorporate, like, the theme of the Paralympics into the mascot, but there's no unity here on, like, what it's supposed to be. Also, I thought that just said other, but it's otter. Otto the otter is cute.
I am seeing that a lot of them have been named by students at, like, schools for people with disabilities.
That's cute. I love that. No, listen, here's an interesting one. Yep, I was literally about to say that. 2006 Winter Paralympics in Turin, Aster, the humanized snowflake, he is meant to represent the uniqueness of each participating athlete.
Oh, no.
God, if that had been like 10 years later.
Literally a special snowflake of a mascot.
For the Paralympics, that's terrible.
Yeah, but it was 2006. I don't think we had that late.
Can I see him? Do we have a picture of him?
Yes. Where is he?
I'm so excited to be in a place in person where I can see pictures of things.
He's actually so cute. He looks like,
oh my god,
he looks like the little Don Hertzfeld blobs with the bleeding anuses. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I was gonna say he looks like the Rosetta Stone, but sure,
the Rosetta Stone. There were two in Sochi, and one of them was a snowflake.
But was it to represent the uniqueness?
No, because it hailed from a planet that was perpetually cold, and so I guess it represents aliens, potentially. So now we know that aliens would participate in the Paralympics.
I mean, if they're disabled aliens, that makes sense.
Right.
And also the aliens are at the Olympics because Maddie Chalk is doing...
Oh, duh.
And I guess Evan as well. She's not a single skater.
She infects him.
Adam Xiao Hanfa, that's right.
Yeah, double space nerd themed.
Yeah, because aliens are Star Wars.
Yeah, I guess Star Wars are aliens. I guess technically anyone in Star Wars is an alien, huh?
And then it's the interstellar Armageddon stuff.
Yeah. See, you know more about this than we do.
Yeah, you should just host this. We're fired.
Yeah, should we just retire?
This is, to be fair, I watched the long programs having slept.
That's true.
So I remember the subtitles.
Yeah, well, we've seen them more than once, like, throughout the season, but still. Megan, have we gotten to the point of this where I learn about my...
We have.
Oh my god, yay.
It is time for Bing Duan Duan. And Shui Ron Ron.
I'm so excited.
I'm excited to find out if there is a secret dark history to Bing Duan Duan, because my mom finds his energy suspicious.
I think his vacant eyes.
So how many designs do you think were on the table for?
7,000.
Do you have a guess, Jamie?
8.
So Netta's closer. It's 5,816 designs were submitted, and then 10 were shortlisted.
And we ended up with this vacant eyed bitch.
We ended up with these two, and then I guess there were like 8 others. But okay, so I'm just gonna read to you the Wikipedia characteristics of Bing Duan Duan. Bing Duan Duan is a giant panda with a suit of ice, a heart of gold, and a love of winter sports. Bing means ice and embodies purity and strength, the characteristics of the Winter Olympics. Duan Duan, which means health, liveliness, and cuteness, conforms to the overall image of pandas and symbolizes the strength, tenacity, and inspiring Olympic spirit of Winter Olympic athletes. Okay, this is the part that I've been curious about. The colorful ring around Bing Duan Duan's face is inspired by the ice ribbon of the National Speed Skating Hall of the Beijing Winter Olympics. The heart on Bing Duan Duan's palm is a warm welcome to friends from all over the world.
Aww.
Bing Duan Duan's full body shell, which helps the panda to skate. What?
Oh. I'm sorry. This panda has an exoskeleton, which helps it to skate.
Wait, no, I am sorry.
Do they mean like a shell suit? like the speed skaters wear? Or
no, he has an exoskeleton.
He does have an exoskeleton. So he is, okay, so sorry, I stopped short of the full sentence. Bing Duan Duan's full body shell, which helps the panda to skate, snowboard, and ski alongside the Olympic athletes, which I have not seen yet and I would love to.
Why isn't there a, you know, how
put
people Duan Duan always,
in the Olympics.
Yeah, you know how people always say, like, we should just have one normal person like, running track at the Olympics? Can we just have a Bing Duan Duan
just doing
going
just
down, put, yeah. like, doing the ski jumping to just see
give,
how...
Let him do biathlon. Give Bing Duan Duan a gun.
Give Bing Duan Duan a gun 2022.
Listen, could Bing Duan Duan get a higher PCS score than Jason Brown?
Yes.
We'll never know unless we let him.
Yes, because he has a heart on his hand to symbolize hospitality or whatever.
I need you both to know that the sentence that I just read is not over. The shell, which helps him do all these things, is a tribute to embracing new technologies for a future with infinite possibilities. The bright colors on the halo around its face are a representation of the latest advanced technologies of the ice and snow sport tracks at the games, while the heart on its left palm symbolizes China's hospitality for athletes and spectators at the Winter Olympics, or mostly not spectators, but...
Well, so the bright colors of the halo are about how a bunch of the places where they're doing snow sports don't have snow and they've had to make artificial snow.
Yeah, that's actually so, like... from a marketing perspective, really smart of them to, like...
be like, technology!
Technology! and then the final thing in this paragraph is, some netizens believe Bing Duan Duan's design may have also been inspired by the traditional Chinese winter treat Tangulu, as the suit of ice represents the clear candy coating.
Wow. I liked it better when I thought he was just a shiny panda. I'm not into this, like, exoskeleton they're trying to convince me he has.
Is he, like, is he piloting some kind of mecha?
But I don't,
Could we do, like, a larger narrative, like a mascot extended universe where the mascots from Tokyo, which were kind of robot-y in nature, perhaps, he somehow harvested them and made them into an exoskeleton.
But God, Wenlock and Mandeville have been melted down to help.
Yeah, they're in the halo of, like, they're celebrating technology and advanced.
Oh my god, it's like Hunger Games where like you have to consume every other mascot previous in order to become the new mascot.
That's why he contains like all of the like previous Beijing ones from last time. That's why there were so many of them, because they were setting up for this.
Yeah, well they also each represented one each of the five rings, and that's why he has this big frilly collar. I think
my god, they've been condensed down into this collar.
I think so.
Fused together.
They like Voltroned into some kind of horrible.
He's wearing this. Oh god.
Okay, so in hopefully lighter news, we can read about Shui Ron Ron.
I love Shui Ron Ron.
Shui Ron Ron is an anthropomorphic Chinese lantern. Lanterns represent harvest, celebration, warmth, and light.
I had no idea lanterns could represent light. This is real news to me.
This is a fucking huge. That is huge if
Jamie,
true.
You have like an English degree. Talk to me about symbolism.
Yeah, so as someone with one quarter of a master's degree in English literature, I think it's really bold of them to say that lanterns can represent light, because we know that it can represent, you know, warmth and joy and hope for the future, but actually going back to basics of saying that a lantern can just represent light is a really bold move, and
yeah.
I think is...
I'm dying.
I think actually probably helps, you know, because... that makes sense to us as English speakers, but
wow,
it's really easily translatable.
You know,
metaphor
it is just when you get someone
English
with
speakers.
Like a smart look, smart sounding British accent, it just like makes it make sense.
It does.
I do want to say for the listeners who haven't seen Shui Ron Ron, like in like the image of them, they're adorable and their face is a cloud.
Well, so here's the thing: the next sentence says the wishful shape at the top, which I then went up to look at again, and it's kind of like a mushroom cloud situation. Although not, I didn't mean that.
What?
I didn't mean that to sound like a nuclear warhead. I meant it's a. It looks like a cloud and or a mushroom.
Yeah. It looks like a little chef's hat.
Yeah, a little chef's hat. That's wishful.
Or like a stylized image of a pie.
Just a wishful shape. Give me something, and then they're reviewing the design. No, it needs to be more wishful. So it symbolizes auspicious happiness, the continuous pattern of the dove, of peace and the temple of heaven, symbolizes the peaceful friendship and highlights the characteristics of the place where the events are held.
Decorative China, a notably peaceful and
we're not even going to touch this.
Can't even touch that. The decorative pattern incorporates the traditional Chinese paper cutting art. The snow on the face represents the meaning of a fall of seasonable snow, gives promise of a fruitful year. Okay, but I think that that must be some kind of like Chinese idiom.
Yeah.
It also reflects the anthropomorphic design and highlights the mascot's cuteness. Bing Duan Duan was designed by Cao Shui. I'm not great at pronunciation, but that was my best attempt. A chief designer at Guangzhou Academy of Fine Arts, while Shui Ranran was designed by Jiang Yufan, an undergraduate majoring in product design at the Jilin Art Institute of Design. That's fucking dope. Like, imagine trying to get jobs after college and be like, I already designed the fucking mascot.
Olympic mascot, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Like, that would be my resume. It would be just, like, a picture of Shui Ranran and, like, a little, like, under caption. Like, I did this.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Just a screenshot of the Wikipedia article that's, like, this undergraduate is designed this person, and then, like, a picture of my face.
Be mindful with it.
Yes, I'm killing the microphone setup. Microphone.
So,
this
I guess
is what happens when you bring an amateur on. I just destroy the audio setup.
I guess the last thing I wanted to do was sort of go on their official website and see. So Bing Duan Duan's official website.
I do like that every athlete is getting a Bing Duan Duan.
Yeah, it's like part of the medal ceremony. It's like, here's your ceremonial panda in an exoskeleton.
But here's what I'm concerned about is if we know that he has been consuming everyone else, is this like an infiltration scheme of some sort? And I don't think it's by the host country. I think like the extended mascot universe where the mascots are like the Avengers and they're all like conspiring against us. I've decided the Avengers are bad now. Is it bad to have images of this like transformer person in the homes of every single top athlete?
Is it like a...
Is this how the revolution starts?
Like a kind of talisman, and the next mascot that's gonna... Can, like, use the Bing...
They can be born!
They can use the Bing's Duan Duan to, like, suck... That's the official plural.
It is.
The Bing's Duan Duan, and, like, while you sleep, those, like, vacant, hungry eyes can, like, suck the energy from these top athletes and, like, charge up, and then...
Yeah.
In the center of the earth, where the next mascot is
being forged,
that's where the energy from these athletes, the like life force, is being.
Look,
shaped.
I love this. I love this. This is why we have English majors on the show. Two observations. First, I'm obsessed with the idea that both of us jumped to the conclusion that every single meddling athlete will sleep with their Bing Duan Duan,
or
like
even
just
if it's
cuddle
just in the room somewhere.
Yeah, it has to go in their room.
Yeah.
As long as they don't put it, like, inside a closet, it has to, like, be able to see the body.
I need to hide McBunzina from this.
I want to point out that...
No, but wait, I need to
pitch. Oh, I'm sorry. You have your second observation. Go ahead.
Yeah, my counter pitch to this is worse. One of the many Bing Duan Duans that are... Bing's Duan Duan, pardon me. One of the many Bing's Duan Duan, which is going to an Olympic home, is the host who will birth the next Olympic mascot. And I don't know which one of them it will be, but it's random. An Olympian is going to wake up one day and their Bing Duan Duan will be in labor birthing the next Olympic mascot.
I thought you meant that, like, that the Olympian. And I was like, Nathan Chen is going to birth the next Olympic mascot.
So this
That's
is where...
That's the version of M-Preg I'm not
yeah,
into.
So this is
I
where
don't
it begins.
Care for that.
This is where it begins with the mascot fanfic is Nathan Chen M-Preg. Nathan Chen X Bing Duan Duan. This is horrible and I hate it.
We've just lost all of our patrons.
I also want to point out that the portals that Bing Duan Duan belongs to are Olympics, sports, science fiction,
what?
Asia, and China. So sure. I guess that this is plausible because it's sci-fi. And also, sorry, I got distracted. Surprise. No, it's also implying to me that, yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. But what I wanted to say, I think.
Yes.
Yes, maybe one day we'll get there.
He's counted under fictional golems.
Oh, I love that.
Are you fucking joking? This is, how does it keep getting deeper?
Okay, so tell me about that.
Canonically, Bing Duan Duan is a golem.
Which is a fucking, like, construct imbued with human souls, so you were right.
And so were Wenlock and Mandeville.
Fuck.
Oh my god, the conspiracy gets deeper.
I think that also another possibility is that we will soon see an appearance from the 2024 mascot, which will appear Terminator style to tell us that we have to do our best right now to kill Bing Duan Duan because before it's too late.
If we want to live to see the 2024 Olympics.
Just horrible. Well, I think that this is an episode.
This is an episode. Hey, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for making everything that we're doing possible. We couldn't do any of this without you, and we do mean the Bing Duan Duan deep lore, and also just like the actual journalism that we attempt to do. You've made so much possible for us lately. You've helped us build a home in a German hotel room. You've helped us leave the lights on in said German hotel room.
Except remembering to turn them off, you know, to conserve energy whenever we leave the hotel room.
Yeah, we're good. Often. We're good about it, but also we are leaving the lights on. You've helped us be in this shirt in a German hotel room. What I'm trying to say is you've helped us a lot. Yes, thank you. Anything else?
No, I think you said it all. Thank you so much. And we will see you guys very soon again for more Awesome Olympics bonus content. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you, bye.